You're listening to the Pops on Hops podcast, where we listen to some pops, drink a little hops, and I get to hang out with my pop. I'm Abigail Hummel.
And I'm Barry Hummel, and we want to welcome you to another of the series of bonus episodes that we want to share during our brief hiatus before we start season four.
Over the past year, we've had the opportunity to appear as guests on several podcasts to share the origin story of Pops on Hops. Each of these appearances cover topics that we don't typically cover in our own podcast. The hosts of each of these podcasts have granted us permission to share those episodes in our feed. If you like what you hear, we hope that you will give a listen to some of their other episodes. We'll include links to a few favorites in our show notes.
Up next is our appearance on the Beer in Front podcast, which originally dropped on July 31st of 2023. Beer in Front is based in Chicago and hosted by Dave Zalatoris. Dave's entire premise is that sometimes the beer in front of you is the best one yet. Dave covers a combination of local and national beer news and drops the occasional interview. But the signature segment on each episode is to taste and review the beer that he has in front of him, and then tell listeners whether or not they should put it in the cart.
Dave and my dad had the genius idea to trade guest appearances on our respective podcasts. So here is our episode on Beer in Front, in which Pops decided to use his phone-a-friend option and have Dave select an album for our podcast. We also talked about the origins of our show and the Florida craft beer scene. Enjoy!
This is Beer in Front, part of the Odd Pods Media Network. Sometimes the beer in front of you is the best one yet. I'll talk about some old school beers that maybe you've forgotten about, some new beers that have the potential to be a classic. I'll also talk to various people around the beer world and get their stories all about beer. That's Beer in Front, and it's coming up now. Welcome to episode one. I don't know what episode, I lost track, but welcome to episode 170-something of Beer in Front. I'm your host, Dave Zalatoris, and Beer in Front is a proud member of the Odd Pods Media Network. I have a good show for you this week. I talk to Pops on Hops podcast, the hosts, Barry and Abigail Hummel. They put out a great show. I'm going to talk music and beer from Florida with them. That was a lot of fun. In a few weeks, I'm going to be on their show, and we're going to talk the great Smithereens 11 album. I want to thank everyone that listened last week to the Fresh Air Friendship Show. That was the best episode as far as downloads and listens I've had in the last 6 months. So if you're new to the show, if you listened last week and you're checking me out, I thank you for listening. That was a fun time. Please check out Fresh Air Friendship. Get your rear ends outside. Enjoy this wonderful weather. Take a hike. Enjoy a great Illinois beer. But it was a lot of fun talking with those ladies last week. That was a great show, and I thank everyone for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you could reach out to me, Dave at beerinfront.com. You could find me on all the socials, including Blue Sky and Threads. You could find me over at Beer in Front. This podcast started getting traction over on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. I'm dialing away from Twitter. So I'm whittling it down. I'm removing people I don't interact with anymore. And I'm just not giving Elon. I create content for Elon. He doesn't dictate what I do. So I'm whittling away from Twitter, so you could look for me on the other social media platforms. I'll still be on there, and I'm going to pimp the show because that's what I do. I'm going to pimp the show, but personal stuff, other things are going to be on every other social media platform that doesn't have an X involved in it. So hunt for me down. You could look for me everywhere on follow me at Beer in Front. You'll find me there, but in the near future, don't look for me over on Twitter. It's always nice to meet friends of the show in person, and the other day at the airport, I met David Carey. He's a longtime friend of the show. He's been on quite a few times. He's the father of Lauren and John from the Beard Ale podcast. But he was flying through O'Hare, so I got a chance to meet up with him again. He's a great guy. It's just fun. And unfortunately, that's one of the things that I'm going to miss about dumping Twitter is that I met him through Twitter. But it was great meeting him, or not meeting him, because I met him a year ago when he flew through. But it was great seeing him again. And if you're ever flying through O'Hare, get a hold of me, and I'll definitely meet up with you, give you a big old hug and a handshake, and you could see me in action where I'm not wearing a black t-shirt. You'll see me in a regular shirt and tie and looking all professional. I won't have a Schlitz hat on. I'll be looking like a normal member of society. But it was great meeting Dave again. It was a lot of fun. If you're flying through O'Hare, let me know and I'll definitely meet up with you. Today, I'm honored to have on Abigail and Barry Hummel. They're the hosts of Pops on Hops, which covers two of my favorite topics, music and beer. They're based out of Florida, and I'll be having a beer that they sent over. Abigail, Barry, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Dave. Great to be here.
Thanks. Now, the show came out in March of 2021.
That's correct.
That's when we started.
What can you tell folks about the show?
Well, we'd like to describe it as an exploration of beer, music, and family. It kind of came out of the pandemic when we were looking for something to fill some time, and we couldn't decide whether we wanted to do a music podcast or a beer podcast. And at some point, one of us thought of the old Dr. Seuss book, Hop on Pop.
Yeah.
And as soon as that came up, it was like, oh, that's it. We have to do both. And so that's why we merged the two things together. And so the conceit is that because we're a father-daughter with different musical tastes, different age brackets, that we share albums back and forth that maybe the other's not familiar with, or maybe it's a way to introduce each other to new, even if it's old, music. And so that's the format. We trade albums back and forth. The other one gets to pick a brewery that kind of maybe ties in thematically some way. And then we just have a conversation, and we take whatever turn it takes. If we talk about old family stories, how we discovered music, politics comes up because the lyrics suggest that we go there. It's a very kind of free form show.
I love the artwork that you put out for each episode based on the album. Who's the art director of the show?
That'd be my dad.
Now, Barry, I could just imagine, like, you're sitting there like texting Abigail, okay, I need you to like squat down like Tori Amos in Little Earthquakes. Is that how this goes?
That's exactly how it goes,
Dave.
We have to do it remotely so many times. Sometimes we're together. We know we have something coming up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get an album. I gave Abigail the Talking Heads album, Little Creatures, and I painted myself into a corner because that album is so complicated. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I actually painted elements of that cover to try to get the thing to match. So sometimes the fun is a challenge for me to figure out how I'm going to replicate some piece of art. I don't choose the albums based on the covers. So sometimes I do get boxed in.
Yeah. Before we get going on a little farther, I'm going to have one of the beers that you sent over. This is Special H. It's a Juicy Kolsch. I like the artwork on this can. You should do a podcast cover with this artwork. I'd like to see you Photoshop your face onto this. I don't know if this is a pigeon or what this is, but this looks really good.
I could do that. I'm already looking at it, trying to figure out how to do that, Dave. The interesting thing is this comes from Invasive Species down in Fort Lauderdale, and that's where we recorded the Talking Heads album I just mentioned.
Okay.
And so we were down there. Little Creatures, Invasive Species, that was kind of the weird tie-in. And it's one of my favorite brewers in Fort Lauderdale. Been around for about 10 years, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm interested. I'm interested in trying it, so let me crack it open.
Ooh, that was a beautiful can crack.
Yeah. I was waiting for that sound.
Mm-hmm. It's when you know it's podcasting time.
It looks really nice. It's good color, good foam here. Kind of like a hazy IPA, just looking at it where it's murky.
It is a little hazy.
Oh, no, it smells really good. I like the aroma on here.
That's the other conceit of our show, just so you know, Dave, is I have no sense of smell. And so that comes up quite frequently because I don't get any aroma from any of the beers.
It was that. Is that something you've always had, or was this a COVID thing?
No, it was a I recall having it in high school. And at some All point right. between high school and college, I just lost my sense of smell. And I haven't had it probably in 40 years. And for the most part, I get by, you know, but I do take some very gentle ribbing from Abigail on almost every episode because I don't get the full effect of the beer.
Now, Abigail, that's not hereditary, is it? Your sense of smell is good?
Well, I think over the past few years, it has gotten noticeably worse. So I think maybe the genetics are catching up to me. And I have a younger brother as well. And he has been convinced that his sense of smell has been going for years. So I think it might be hereditary, yes.
No. Well, no, this beer is really good. Yeah, this beer is really good for like a cold. It's kind of like the best of both worlds where you get it's crisp and clean like a Kolsch while you get the good fruity flavor of the New England IPA hops. It's really good.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It is delicious.
And I'm not, wait,
go ahead.
I'm not, as a rule, a huge Kolsch fan because I like big flavors. And this has a flavor, you know, more than a typical Kolsch would. So, yeah, this is really a really good beer.
Yeah, you get that, like, citrus, tropical flavors on here. I was just trying to look on the can real quick to see if it had 5.8% ABV, so it's not, like, super heavy.
It does describe on the can a dry-hopped, hazy Kolsch, and I definitely get the hops in there. It's way hoppier than what a normal Kolsch I would expect.
Yeah, than your typical one.
And it's delicious. I really love it. Just that like subtle little kick of hops in there, but it's still so light and drinkable.
And I didn't know what to expect, Dave, because they usually do, they're big on fruited sours and big flavors down there. And when I went down there, my intent was to get something in that category. This was the only thing they had in a cooler the day I went down.
So okay.
I was, all right, this is what we're having.
That was a good choice. You picked well. I like this
yes,
one.
Yes, you did, Dad.
The albums, you've covered a lot of the albums that I love. I've seen on past episodes, Darkness on the Edge of Town. I think the first one I listened to was the Hindu Love Gods episode. I'm like, oh, I need to listen to this. Shake Your Money Maker, Belly Button. Now, you said this is like a joint effort. I'm assuming with those late 80s, early 90s, those come from you, Barry?
That's correct. Yeah, everything you just listed is sort of in the in my album collection. And I kind of pick them based on whether they had some important meaning to me, and then also how I discovered them. Because part of the story I'm telling as I go through mine, I've been doing it somewhat chronologically, is how did I find these songs? How did I find these albums? Because that's changed, as you know, Dave, over the years, radically, you know, from listening, trying to catch songs on AM radio to, you know, streaming services and Napster. And I've listened to things on 8-track as a kid, right? So I've had it in every variety. And so I like to share that part of the story. I like to share why did I discover this? I've had friends recommend albums, that sort of thing. So mine's somewhat chronological. And, you know, our audience does skew a little bit older if you look at the statistics. And but it's not, it doesn't reflect what episodes do the best because many of Abigail's albums, Florence and the Machine, Pink.
Brett Denon's up there.
Brett Denon, yeah, surprisingly. Brett Denon, those episodes perform very, very well. So despite the audience, it tends to skew a little bit older. It's really a mixed bag, which albums, which episodes do the best.
Yeah, I mean, it could also be the popularity of the artist and whatever. Like, I loved Jellyfish. I thought that band was going to explode and be like the next big thing. But I think with them, their timing was bad. They came out like a year or two before grunge. So that power pop sound that Jellyfish had 2 years later, no one was listening to anymore.
You're absolutely right. I felt the exact same thing. I don't know. I'm a huge Beatles fan, Dave. And I thought, oh, I finally found somebody who is that magical. This is that magical. And the fact that they were two albums and done just really broke my heart. They were fabulous. And the cool thing about that, so I share that album with Abigail. She maybe heard it. Maybe I played it around the house. She had a wonderful experience really diving into that album and taking it track by track and really, you know, getting the full spectrum of what that album was about. And that's half the fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Abigail, are there albums that your dad has suggested and you're like, Dad, what were you thinking?
Oh, man. I think the only one that I really had a shock with processing my dad liking that album was the Tori Amos album, Little Earthquakes, because the way he explained how he found the album was he was at dinner with my mom and the restaurant was playing this album all the way through. And even after breaking down the album, getting to know the tracks, getting to love some of the tracks, I could not picture my dad sitting in a restaurant, hearing that on the speakers and instantly thinking, that's an album I've got to buy, because it's an album you really do need to sit with for a little bit. And so his discovery of it, how sudden it was, that really, really surprised me.
Yeah. And that was a time you couldn't hold your phone up with Shazam or whatever. Like, what song is this?
Yeah. No, they asked the waitress.
I had it. Yeah, absolutely.
I noticed that. Hopefully it's both of you, but Barry, you're a huge REM fan, and a lot of your episodes, like, I think, was it the first one or maybe it was the second one that was collapsing to now? And you also have one of my favorite albums of all time, Life's Rich Pageant, on there. What's your favorite REM album?
Mine is, there's actually a whole episode where I think we talked about our top five REM albums, and I am a huge fan of Document is in the top five. I have to go back and look at the list. And then New Adventures in Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
Is up. It's probably one of the top two. Those are my favorites. I listened to a ton of REM. I was living in North Carolina in the late 80s and kind of discovered them there. Had some friends in North Carolina who know Don Dixon, have worked with Don Dixon, who produced their first two albums. And really discovered them there and really got into them a lot in North Carolina. And I played that stuff to death. So Abigail really became a huge fan. Like, that is one of her top two favorite bands. And that's by default. That's just osmosis of listening to it for the years. The collapse into the catalog thing, that was our test when we were talking about, should we do this? We prepped that. And what we did was we took the songs from that album and we tried to place it, because that was kind of a, stylistically, a retrospective of their entire career musically. Mm-hmm. So our exercise was, can we place these songs in the first 12 albums somewhere? Where would we put these songs in their spectrum of music? And it was really fun and challenging. It's pretty dense. It's not a great place to start our show. You really have to be an REM fan to love that or enjoy that. But that, to me, was a great, great exercise. And I think what that proved to us was, because it was pretty, you know, nerdy, if I can be so, I'll say geeky because that's cooler than being nerdy. I think the thing that proved to me was we knew enough about music. We're not musicians, you know, we're just fans.
Yeah.
But it proved that we knew enough about it to really have a somewhat educated conversation about the music. And after we did that, I was like, oh, I'm all in on this. I think this is going to be great. So, but I was the REM fan first, no doubt.
Abigail, which albums are your favorite?
So I actually took the liberty of going and looking at our list, because when we recorded our top five REM albums episode, we each chose a representative song from each of our top five albums, and those are compiled in a playlist on Spotify. So both of our canonical favorites are New Adventures and Hi-Fi, but Reveal is my second favorite and was my favorite for a very, very long time until we did the Collapse into the Catalog project. And during that, the research and everything leading up to that, New Adventures in Hi-Fi kind of rose to the top.
A lot of people kind of poo-poo the more recent REM stuff. I think it was good. Now, it wasn't as popular as their mid-80s stuff, but a lot of tracks, even on their last two albums, were extremely strong. Living Well's the Best Revenge. I can go on, but their last few albums, I think, were maybe not as good, but they weren't bad at all, like some people think about their more recent work.
I would say Around the Sun is the only one that I don't really go out of my way to listen to much. Yeah. Everything else in their catalog, I'm all in. I think those last two albums hold up really, really well.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm disappointed that they aren't continuing to work together. Maybe they will someday. Abigail and I just got tickets, Dave, to see Mike Mills is doing a thing with a concerto performance over in Fort Myers area.
Okay.
He's playing bass with the concerto.
Oh, wow.
And then the concerto is going to do REM songs. Now he's not playing on the REM stuff. They're doing concerto versions of REM songs. And then he's going to play bass on concerto songs.
Oh, wow.
Really interesting thing to see, you know, but I actually pinged him. I put it up on Twitter that I was seeing this and he goes, you realize I'm not playing the REM songs. I said, listen, my daughter's dying to see you play anything live anywhere. This is totally fine because she didn't get to see you guys as a unit, you know?
Yeah. I think, and I've mentioned it a couple times, I think I've pinged him as well. I think the world would be better if Mike Mills was just singing harmony on whatever. Like, he could do harmony on our podcast. Like, this is a good beer, and you would hear Mike in the background, this beer is good. Mike Mills doing harmony would be perfect on anything. My wedding, I'm like, I need Mike Mills in the background to sing harmony to my wedding vows.
So underrated. You are so right on that. Mm-hmm. And I have not seen, now he does that baseball project stuff.
Yeah.
And so does Peter Buck. And I don't know if they ever do it together, but they have this kind of rotating cast of characters that does only songs about baseball. And I'd like to see that at some point too, because that's a really interesting project to me. And I agree. We need more Mike Mills. I wish he was always floating. He was doing a solo album and I don't know what happened to that. Love that guy. Love that guy.
You know, and one of the more interesting things that I found out about Mike Mills was, like, the piano from Layla was the piano that he played on for Night Swimming. And there was some benefit concert where he used the guitar from Layla as well. I'm like, you're probably the only person that's used the same piano and guitar on one of the more classic rock songs of all time, Layla. He's like, yeah, I'm blessed.
Wow. Probably one of the few people that could get away with it too, right? Like at this point, he's rock and roll royalty, right?
So
if he says, hey, I'd like to use this, I'm sure nobody's saying, Mike, you got to take a hard pass on that. He just seems like a magically nice guy that anybody would do anything for.
Yeah. Do you have any like albums or episodes coming up that you want to tell people about?
We have a couple good ones coming up that we already recorded that we haven't edited yet. We have, I got four is coming up from Blues Traveler.
Okay.
Which we've already recorded. And I think our next one coming up is, help me, Abigail, what's the next one?
Well, after
is it finally this, Jason Mraz?
Depends when this episode's coming out. Yes, my next one
that's
will be
right.
Jason Mraz. But there's also, recorded our a jukebox episode. So one of the things we have implemented is our virtual jukebox, because we had so many people coming up to us and saying, oh, you should do this album and this album. And we needed a way to kind of standardize that, because the heart of the show is our favorite albums that we're trading back and forth.
Yeah.
So every five episodes or so, we draw randomly from our virtual jukebox and anyone can submit an album of their choice, the brewery they would pair that with, or, you know, if they wanted to go off the rails, do no beer, or, you know, do hard cider. We're open to that as well. And then we randomly draw an album every five episodes or so. And we try our very best to record with the person who suggested the album. Doesn't always work out, but this most recent time, we just recorded MGMT's Oracular Spectacular. And we didn't have the suggester of the album on the show, but we still had an awesome time discussing an album that neither of us were super familiar with before.
How would people suggest an album to you? Do you have like a website, or how would somebody that's listening to this say, oh, I would like to hear them talk about blah, blah, blah?
If you go to our website, which is popsonhopspod.com, there is a tab that says Virtual Jukebox. And there's a little form you complete, and you can answer all their questions. Like Abigail said, you can say, I just want to introduce the album. I don't want to participate at all. I'm in for trying to arrange the beer. I don't care. You can fill out all those questions in at the beginning. And then we put that in, like when we draw, it's full right now. So when we draw one out, we put the next, you know, we add, we have a list of, of not a waiting list. It's not that many names on it, but we have 36 albums in there.
Okay.
And we just do it as a grid. You know, we pull usually a Scrabble tile from C, D, E, and F and a playing card from 1 through 9, and it lands on whatever it lands on. And that's the next one. And, yeah. and then when somebody comes in, then we hold like for about a year, we keep no repeats because some people have more than one in the jukebox.
But yeah.
What I was looking for though, Dave, what's more important to me is, I was thinking, well, we need to do a crossover episode. So how can I get Dave involved in the Pops on Hops world? And so I would like to throw it out there to you that if you had an album, I'll let you skip ahead of the line is what I'm saying.
In
the virtual jukebox, I get to every once in a while, we do a thing where we kind of phone a friend. So I've done it with my wife and Abigail's done it with her brother, our son. And so I am going to turn over one of my episodes to you if you'd like to do that. And if that were the case, what album do you think you'd suggest?
Well, you said you had cards 1 through 9. I wish there was a deck that had cards 1 through 11, because I would pick one of my favorite bands of all time, the Smithereens, and their classic album 11. Well, before we wrap things up here, you mentioned that you like this brewery a lot. What other breweries in like your area, if somebody were coming down there, would you recommend people to go to?
Well, in Fort Lauderdale, there's several good ones. My two favorites are Invasive Species and Three Sons. Three Sons is down near the Fort Lauderdale International Airport in Dania Beach, just a little south of Fort Lauderdale. And then the other one's fairly famous, right? It's Funky Buddha, which was like probably what put South Florida on the beer map originally. I mean, it was one of the original places, got bought out, or maybe it was just an investment from Constellation, which was a distributor. And about 4 weeks, 6 weeks ago, they bought their rights back. So Funky Buddha bought the rights back from Constellation. That is a wonderful tap house. A wide variety of great experimental type beers, which has never changed, by the way. When Constellation bought them, that never went away. The tap house remained just as cool as it had always been. If you want to go a little further south into Miami, the Wynwood District in Miami, which is this really great neighborhood, it's an older neighborhood. It's had a renaissance. There's a lot of street art on the buildings. There's a couple down there that are fabulous. Jay Wakefield's probably my favorite. In fact, I think he has a show on Sirius where he talks about the business of beer, which he records at that brewery. And then Wynwood Brewing is also fabulous in that neighborhood. And then a little bit west, more towards the airport. Gotta love the airports, right? The airport tie-in, right, Dave? Out by Miami International Airport, more in the Doral area, I guess, but it's out that way. There's a couple of great ones. Lincoln's Beard is one of my favorites, and also Tripping Animals. Two very cool spaces down in Miami. They're probably my favorites that in my range. If you go up to Palm Beach County, we had a great one there called Due South. It was the biggest one in Palm Beach County, and they didn't really survive the pandemic. We actually recorded an episode there, and like 6 or 8 months after that, they had to close their doors. They just, I don't know what happened. So Palm Beach County, probably my favorite place is Civil Society, which does a lot of New England IPAs, and that's closer to Jupiter, but it's in Palm Beach County. They're the big ones down near us, but there's fabulous stuff all over the state. There's a list. I pulled a list up that maybe I'll send you the link if you want it for the show notes. It's called Hop Culture put an article together of the 18 best breweries in South Florida. They actually kind of included Tampa, St. Pete area in the South Florida. It's almost like you drew a line across the state and everything south of that. And so they mentioned some great breweries in the Tampa, St. Pete area too. That's a great beer community over there, as you can imagine. Cigar City being the most famous one, obviously. Also now acquired by Anheuser-Busch many years ago. But they still have a very cool tap room. Like a lot of these guys maintain the charm of their original place as part of their arrangement. And so you can still go to the old Cigar City tap room and have a great experience, even though we know Anheuser-Busch bought them out.
And they're still making smaller batch, more creative kind of stuff still, even though their bigger labels and everything are distributed nationwide. They're still making stuff that is only available in their tap house locally.
Yeah, that's cool. I know, like, when Anheuser-Busch InBev bought out Goose Island here, their original tap room still puts out some of the beers that have been discontinued that you could only get in, you know, that tap room. So that part's kind of cool. I'm not a big fan of the man buying little businesses out, but, you know, if like, if Constellation wanted to buy my podcast, here you go. You can have it. It's all yours. Right. So, well, I don't like it.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way, Dave. Yeah. I'm like, get your money, right? Yeah. But also, the man, oh gosh, yeah. Capitalism. Yeah. It's a tough walk. It's a tough line that we walk.
Yeah, I know what Constellation paid, what, $1 billion for Ballast Point, and then sold it for like next to nothing 5 years later. You know, I can't blame the Ballast Point people. I mean, who's going to turn down that big of a check? No one.
It's hard to refuse that, obviously. But Abigail lives up in Gainesville, Dave, so not in South Florida. Abigail, do you have anything up your way you want to share with Dave? Anything in the Gainesville, North Florida area?
We have some great breweries up here. Alachua County now has a sort of a ale trail that they've created called the Sippin' Seven, seven breweries in and around Gainesville. I have been to six of them, so I am very familiar with the beer scene up here. My favorite is Swamphead Brewery. They've been around the longest in Gainesville, and they are very close to where I live, so it is a snap to get over there. They were producing all kinds of really fun stuff during the pandemic, and I spent a lot of money there during the pandemic because they had a drive-through operation set up, and they were releasing new stuff every week. And what they did, which was very smart because they got completionists like me hooked, was they would do several series and they'd release one a week for a month or 2 months. And so I always had to try everything in the series. So I was there a lot during the pandemic. Yeah. The other big one in town is First Magnitude, and they also have terrific, terrific beer and a really great outdoor seating area. Their venue, I think, is probably the coolest in town.
Yeah, I'll have to – I know – I'm not sure. I think the first one you mentioned, like a couple years ago, Lauren from Beard Ale sent me some beers from North Florida. So I think I had – I'll have to go back through my Untappd check-ins, but I think I had something from that first brewery you mentioned.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's a really popular place. And there's
a staple.
And
that
Jacksonville scene is exploding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many good breweries in Jacksonville, too. And Jacksonville was like OG in that sense. They had, I think it might have been Bold City. They had one that opened up, like, it's a legacy. It's been there so long before this really started to explode. Now you can go over there and there's got to be 30 breweries in the Jacksonville area, if not more. And wide variety, and everything's fun. Everything's good. But we don't get up there often enough. We need more time in Jacksonville.
Barry, get in the car. You could drive.
So much.
We do it.
I give you a buddy
pass. We will continue.
I could give you a buddy pass if you want to catch a puddle jumper from Miami up to Jacksonville.
That'd
be fun.
Well,
drinking up the east coast of Florida. Yeah.
Well, Abigail, Barry, I appreciate you coming on. This was a lot of fun. I think, I don't know, who does the Twitter? Is it Barry or Abigail? Who's in charge?
I spend more time on Twitter than Abigail does, I think. Yeah, because I take a lot of I do some of the artwork. I do a lot of the pictures, so I think I've spent more time.
Because I don't know. I think I was first introduced to your show. I think we followed each other on Twitter, but I remember I was like waiting in an urgent care center for like a 3-hour wait to get looked at. And I'm just like, put something on there. All right, somebody give me some podcast suggestions because I'm going to be here a while. And I know, I'm not sure who did it, but they're like, you should check ours out. So I'm like, then I found the Hindu Love Gods. And that's when I fell in love with the show. Where can people find the show?
We are on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're even on YouTube. Pops on Hops Pod is what you would search on any of those things to find us. On YouTube, it's really fun. We will put together, we have podcasts like research playlists. So every video that's mentioned in a podcast episode goes into that playlist. So lots of deep dives available on our YouTube. And then my dad mentioned earlier our website, popsonhopspod.com. We put our show notes there. So if there's ever anything you're looking for the link to, that'll be on the website. And that's where we have our virtual jukebox as well.
Awesome. Well, Abigail, Barry, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll speak very soon. All right, the beer in front of me this week is from Roaring Table. They're based out of Lake Zurich, Illinois. This is called Bar and Grill. It's a California-style double IPA. They use Citra and El Dorado hops here. Really awesome label. The label looks, it's got this nice retro font. Really cool looking label. That's what sold me on the beer. And then I saw it was from Roaring Table. So I'm like, put it in the cart. Let's crack open Bar and Grill. Bar and Grill is a really nice light color. I'd say it's on more on the hazy side. Good foam. Aroma just slaps you right in the nose. Smells really good. Oh, yeah, the taste is great. When it said California style, I was kind of thinking it was going to be more of a West Coast IPA, but this is definitely on the New England hazy side. It's really good. This checks in at 8.2%, so maybe one and done with this, but it's a delicious beer. I'm going to try this again. Now, very flavorful. Get a lot of fruit flavors up front from the hops. I think this is excellent. I would definitely buy this again if I see it. I picked it up at a local bottle shop. But everything that I've had so far from Roaring Table has been excellent. If you see Bar and Grill in your travels, by all means, put it in the cart. All right, that's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Beer in Front. I want to thank once again Barry and Abigail from the great Pops on Hops podcast. Check them out. Listen for me. I'm going to be on their show in a few weeks, so please check them out. And thank you again to Abigail and Barry for coming on, sending me some great Florida beers. I enjoyed those. Love talking to those folks, some of my favorite people, so please check them out. In a couple of days, there is going to be a bonus episode. I'm going to talk to Matthew over at Old Irving, and we're going to discuss the new project that Old Irving has with Omega Yeast, the Brew Lab series. Head over to YouTube. I did a quick side-by-side comparison of Beezer and the new Brew Lab series, Volume 1. Check that out. I'm a big fan of Old Irving, so that's going to come out later this week. All right, everyone, have a great couple of days, and I'll talk to you in a few days on Beer in Front.
Once again, we want to thank Dave for the opportunity to appear as guests on his podcast. I am a big fan of Beer in Front, and I was delighted to be able to be part of his show. Also, if you haven't heard it, be sure and listen to Dave's episode of Pops on Hops featuring 11 by the Smithereens. We will also include links to that and Dave's other work in our show notes.
We also want to remind everyone that Season 4 begins on March 8th, 2024, when we discuss the album The Same Old Blood Rush with a New Touch by Cute Is What We Aim For. In the meantime, if you need more of our content, you can find us on all social media platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, at Pops on Hops Pod, or you can email us at popsonhopspod@gmail.com. Wherever you're listening to this, there should be a link in the show notes to leave us a voice message if that's something that interests you. Or you can visit our super cool website, popsonhopspod.com, where you can find bonus photos, videos, and other materials related to each of our bi-weekly episodes. That is also where you can submit to our virtual jukebox for a chance for your favorite album and even your voice to appear on the pod. Something we're really trying to focus on in Season 4 is getting more ratings and reviews for our podcasts. That's something that will really help our audience grow and might even help us earn that coveted untapped sponsorship. So if you have a moment to give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or if the podcast app of your choice has a rating system, we'd really appreciate that. And on behalf of Hops
and Pops,
we'll see you next time.
Bye.